Desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Been reading a passage of scripture this week in my own devotions and meditating on it. And it's not the first time I've ever read this, so I'm sure that many of you have read this passage of scripture and got a blessing from it, so it won't be totally new to you. But I think about our lives and endeavoring to be Christians and endeavoring to be pleasing to the Lord. And in the scripture, we find instances where Jesus shared a parable with the people and said, the kingdom of heaven is like something. He gives an illustration. And I want to read, it's something a little different than the other parables that Jesus would have taught. And this is not really a parable, but he does paint a picture for people that I'm sure those that lived in Christ's time could relate to this even better than I can. And I'm sure that some of you here today may have more experience with this than I do, but I'd like to read in John the 15th chapter, and we'll begin with the first verse. He says here, 15 and 1 of St. John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so if I loved you, continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, ye shall give it. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now that is a fairly lengthy passage of scripture, but I'd like for us to look at it. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples between the Last Supper and his crucifixion. He's in the garden. He knows that his arrest is imminent. It's just could happen at any time. He's giving his disciples some last-minute instruction and counsel about what's their responsibilities and their obligations in the very near future. He starts out by giving an illustration of a vine. A vine that would produce grapes. Vineyards, we know, were fairly common. There's a lot of references to vineyards. There's references to grape juice in the Scripture, in the New Testament Scripture. He ends this little passage of Scripture that I read talking about them not being servants, but being friends of His. And He's not dealt with them like servants. He's dealing with them like friends. And I think it's important for us to recognize that the word servant here particularly indicates someone that is more slave-like than they are employee-like. Okay, it's and if you have someone that is basically in a slave situation, certainly the one that's given the orders doesn't explain all the whys and all of that. But Jesus says, I'm not dealing with you like a servant. I'm sharing this with you like a friend, someone that I can disclose my innermost feelings. So I'd like to go back, and I'd like for you to, let's think about this vine illustration that he gives. And I want to tell you that my parents, when I grew up, we had blackberries in the backyard, and we had raspberries. I can't remember us ever having grapes. If we did, I can't remember them being very successful, and my dad was usually successful at whatever he planted. But I just don't remember us having grapes. So I've not been around someone that had a vineyard and had grapes. So those of you that know something about grape vineyards, you know a lot more than I do, because I don't know hardly anything. So I had to do a little research. I'm trying to get this picture in my mind. What's he talking about when he says, I am the true vine, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh? What kind of picture or connotation comes up in the minds of his disciples? Because there are things in my home, in my environment, in our family, that as soon as I say a certain word, the boys' eyes can illuminate. Yeah, they know what I'm talking about. They know exactly what it is. And I believe that Jesus used this illustration because his disciples could relate to it. I don't believe he used it and then they had to go get the encyclopedia out and study. Now, what's a vine? And what's he talking about purging? And I don't believe they had to do that. I believe it was like someone talking to you about driving an automobile, or when to turn the blinkers on, and where you're supposed to stop, you know, even with the stop sign or the white line or all those kind of things. I believe they were very familiar with this illustration. And he was able, with this illustration, to communicate his real thoughts to his disciples. And to us today, the more I is trying to minister, the more that I can connect with real life, everyday experiences that you have, the more likelihood that there is that you can get the real burden that the Lord's trying to communicate to us. So I had to do a little research. What's he talking about when he's talking about a grapevine? I found out that when somebody is planting a grapevine and they're intending for it to be a production thing, from they don't get any grapes off of it the first year. If it does produce anything the second year, it's pretty much not very substantial at all. And the second year, they try, after the second year's growth, they try to prune it back to a small stalk coming out, a trunk with maybe two branches coming off of it. And they'll have it trimmed way back. And the third year, the grapes only come on one-year-old growth. Okay? So it has to be last year's growth that is actually going to bear the grapes. If it sticks out a new little tentacle and grows out and latches on to the wire you've got for it to grow on or something, it's not going to really, it's got to be close to that 1-year-old growth, okay? Now, I've went by vineyards where there was this grapevine that looked pretty substantial, maybe as big as my wrist or so, coming up out of the ground, and it comes up and makes these two branches that goes out a little way, and they have trimmed this thing back till that's all it is. It looks like they about killed the thing. You know, it's really been trimmed back. So you're really going to have a grapevine that's 3 years old before it's going to produce anything. So I want to stop and think about just a little bit. How long had Jesus' ministry been in effect in this world? About 3 years. So there had been some things that had been established between him and his disciples up until this point, until he knows that he's fixing to lead this life. Okay, so they could relate. When he starts talking about a vineyard and I'm the true vine and ye are the branches, I think that there was little light bulbs, if you will, that was starting to go off in their mind. They can relate. It's Jesus. We've been following Jesus about 2.5-3 years. And so, okay, yeah, I know what he's talking about. It's you see, it starts making sense to them. So, I thought, now how long does a grapevine live? Now, you know, just, I don't know much about it. I know that, you know, you can't get much out of it for 3 years, so it's obviously not something that is a real short-term thing. And I found out that typically a grapevine that's about 20 years old, they anticipate the production starting to go down after about 20 years. But there are grapevines in our United States that got started in California at least, and maybe out on the East Coast, but in California, that were planted around 1880 and they're still in production. And these grapevines may not produce quite as much grapes, but the concentration of the flavor and all is apparently more valuable to them than the quantity of grapes. So in my little research, what I've done, I found out that there is a grapevine that's supposed to be the largest in the world. It's called the vine. It was transplanted to its location that it is now in 1769. And it's was the trunk of it, I guess, where it comes out of the ground or something. And I've tried to find a picture of this thing so I could kind of get some kind of visual perception of it. What I found was in 1968, it was calculated to be 81 inches thick, a grapevine. Overall length is well in excess of 100 feet. Now, that's a long time for any plant to live. 1769, it's at a palace in Great Britain. And this, after 20 years, and its production has had records kept on it since it was transplanted into this palace garden, or it's kind of a little greenhouse-like thing that it just fills the whole place. Okay, but it kind of defies the decrease of production. In 2001, it produced 845 pounds of grapes. Now, I have no idea what a typical grapevine produces, but that sounds like a lot of grapes, 845 pounds off of one vine. It's not the oldest. There's another one that was planted in the 17th century, so that would be in the 1600s, it's still alive. But it is supposed to be the largest one. You know, Now I'm thinking about all the times that it was pruned, but it's been allowed to grow and grow and grow. But every year they trim a lot of that new growth off so that it will still have production. And you think since 1769, that's over 300 years of pruning. It's been pruned over 300 times. Just keep that in mind, okay? All right? Now, somewhere along the line, you would think that why would you need to prune it? And that statement, I think, is going to be more relative to our spiritual application than the literal thing. But it's been pruned a lot. But in almost over 300 years, or almost 300 years after it was... it's not 300 years old. I'm sorry, my math's off this morning. But anyway, after all of those years, over a couple hundred years old, it's producing almost 900 pounds of grapes in a year. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Still productive. Now, so I've learned quite a bit about grapes and grapevine. Not that I'm ready to plant one or take care of it for the next generation or two, but I'm just telling you that it's helped me understand the illustration and the picture that Jesus was painting for his disciples to some extent. I pointed out earlier, when he starts talking about a vine and him being in with the disciples for 3 years, I believe it began to resonate with the disciples. All right? Now, he goes on in that second verse and he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." One of the things that can happen in a grapevine is it can develop something they call a dead arm. In other words, one of the branches can die. And if it does, it doesn't produce. There's nothing there. So he said, I know that the when he talks about here a branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I know that the disciples could resonate with that. They knew what it was like to take care of a vineyard and notice that a branch had died. And they knew what the husbandman was supposed to do. They cut it off. They cast it aside. And then he goes on to say, "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Did you know that if you don't prune and trim and purge a grapevine, that it'll just make leaves and it won't produce much fruit? It doesn't produce. It's not near as productive if you just let it go without pruning. So they prune it back so that it will bring forth more fruit. And immediately the disciples were able to connect with that thought. You and I might think, well, maybe just let it grow and it'll have more limbs to put more fruit on. But that's not the way the husbandman adequately takes care of a grapevine. So he's talking about them as being his messengers going out into the world. And if they can get the concept of being pruned, he says, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." It's imperative that we stay connected to the vine. If we're part of the trimmings and the prunings, we're going to be cast aside. It's not going to be productive unless we're connected to the true vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." It's important that we, as a branch, as a tentacle of that vine, are connected. It's important that we recognize that pruning is part of the process. Now, been thinking about the prunings that you and I have. I believe there's a lot of parallels that can be made between us as individuals and being part of the true vine. But I was thinking about the different areas of our life that sometimes need some pruning. You know that our emotions and our feelings need pruning from time to time. You know that our emotions and feelings, if we just let them go, can just get bushier and bushier. And they just become so bushy and leafy that there's no room for fruit. It's because our whole existence begins to just be what we feel and what our emotions are. But the Lord Jesus wants to come along and prune some of those things off of us. If our emotions have got so leafy that there's no fruit that can really be born, don't be surprised if the Lord comes along and starts trying to prune our emotions and our feelings so that we can be more productive in His kingdom. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. We all have things that are disappointments. We all have things that causes us to we talk about the tide of emotion. It goes up and down. There's different things that impacts how we feel and our state of mind and the presence of our attitude towards day by day life, and it's all part of our feelings. So if we resist the Lord's prunings, if we resist His efforts in trying to trim us back and train us in a particular, that's part of pruning. They try to trim the limbs that's going in the wrong direction off, and let this. I seen a picture of the vine in this greenhouse-like thing, and they have got these branches and limbs of this vine growing up on this. It's a building-looking structure, but these things are growing everywhere inside this framework, to where when they're picking the grapes, they can just kind of get on a ladder and go up there and pull these clusters of grapes off of this big vine. And if you've got a vine that's growing straight down and something like that, what are they going to do? They're going to cut it off. It's going in the wrong direction. But if it takes off, or it can be trained to go through the lattice work and go through the support structure, it's going to be allowed to grow there. All right? So our feelings and our emotions, many times they start having some devious and detrimental direction to them. And when they do, the Lord wants to come by and He says, "Look, child, here's something that we need to prune off. Here's something we need to correct, because I want you to bring forth more fruit." And if you allow your emotions to be caught up, if you allow your feelings to keep going down this path, it's going to hinder production. It's not going to be supportive of my cause. And I'm thinking about other areas that the Lord may want to prune on us a little bit. I'm thinking about my beliefs and my thinking. Sometimes we have bigger words and more educated words to describe these things. But, sometimes we begin to meditate and begin to think. I've caught myself in this. I begin to think about something and I begin to believe something. I told you my experiences with my father one time. I was believing something and I was wrong. He knew I was wrong. And he came to the place that he realized that the pruning was going to have to be at my choice, but he told me, he said, "You can believe what you want to, but you're wrong." That's what my dad told me one time. Well, there was something that needed to be cut off there. And I found out that he was right. And I had to adjust my belief. I had to adjust my thinking. So as we go along, there are things that cause us to start thinking. Many times we
adjust our thinking and our beliefs because of our emotions. And if we don't allow the Lord to prune our emotions and our feelings, and then our thinking and our beliefs become impacted by that, we can get bushy over here in another point. And as we go along, and that part of our life becomes more, I don't know what the right word is. It becomes something that's kind of existing because of itself. We recognize this needs to be pruned back. There's something here that's, there's a prevailing thing about my thinking that needs some adjustment. And the Lord may come along and tell us sometime, if you really want to believe that, you know, I can't keep you from it, but you're wrong. The Lord may tell us that sometime. The Lord may come along and say, you know, He may give us a scripture that just, you might say, slaps us in the face with something that we have come to believe. Have you ever been there before? You ever? Maybe you haven't, but, you know, sometimes we go along and we just think, well, this is the way it is, and this is the way the things ought to be. And as we go along, maybe we're just reading in our devotions, and maybe we hear a verse quoted, and we say, well, I've got to look that one up. I didn't know that was in the Bible. And you go look the thing up and you start studying it and realizing what the context was. And you recognize that it is opposing what you have believed. I've heard people's testimonies about they didn't used to believe something and they didn't think that way. And the Lord adjusted them. That's pruning from the Lord. It was something that the Lord had to make some adjustments in their thinking and in their belief. And then I want to talk to us a little bit about our efforts and our actions. You know, sometimes our efforts and our actions need some pruning too. The things that we manifest in our, sometimes it's in our outward appearance, and sometimes it's in the things that we're actually doing and engaged in. And, you know, we can get bushy in that. I hope you're catching the illustration here of too much growth in that area. I can remember allowing my vocabulary to include verbiage that I someone else kind of pointed it out to me that they didn't say it this way, but I, for the sake of the message this morning, I'm telling you, help me see that I was getting bushy somewheres. Some of the vocabulary that I was allowing to be used in my own, the actual words that I was saying, and somebody kind of brought it to my attention, and I began to thinking about it, and the Lord helped me realize I need to get rid of that. He wants to prune that off. There may be some actions, actual hand signals that you're using, or the way you carry yourself, or the way you do something, and the Lord may reveal something about that to you that it needs some changes. It's getting kind of bushy here. It's something that's not beneficial to bearing fruit. It disguises the fruit that He wants to produce with your life. So He's asking. Sometimes He's He comes along and it's more than just suggesting. He's telling you, you've got to make some changes here. You've got to make some changes in your actions. You've got to change some things about your outward appearance. Maybe it's in your clothing. Maybe it's in your words that you use. Maybe it's in the places that you go. And sometimes it's like, Lord, I don't want to cut that off. I like that limb. I like that little bushy spot over there. But the Lord, He says, in every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When the Lord is dealing with us to get a little less bushy in some point or another, I want to challenge us to accept that and to heed His call. And He's not going to come by and give you this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, if the Lord's dealing with you about pruning something in your life, He'll come back. He'll come back. Until you reject Him, He'll come back. I don't like somebody that tries to sell me something with high-pressure techniques and tells me, oh, you know, you'll never get this opportunity again. You know, vacuum sweepers at this price or water treatment systems or whatever, you will never get one. This is the opportunity. I remember one time somebody was trying to sell me a car. And it was a place that I worked, and I thought I wanted to buy a new car, and I decided, or it was a pickup actually, and I decided I didn't afterwards. But anyway, they were trying to explain to me how, Dan, it's because you work here. You know, I just couldn't give this price to everybody. I want you to know that we really like you and we really like your work, and we're so glad you're part of you work here and all these kind of things. And because of all of that, here's what I can do for you. This is what I can sell this car for you, this truck to you for. And you feel a lot of pressure in those situations. Well, you know, he's really telling me he really likes me and all of this kind of thing. And I told him, you know, I'm going to think about it. I'll tell you tomorrow. And I went home. And this is just an illustration how the devil will deal with you, okay? I went home, I got the newspaper, and they had that vehicle in the newspaper for $200 less than what he told me he'd sell it to me for. And that you might say that cooked my goose. I wasn't going to buy it for $500 less. I was not interested in that truck again. And you know, the devil comes along like that to us and says, you know, if you don't do this now, if you don't do this right at this moment, you will never get enough. But that's not the way the Lord's dealing with you. I only told you that story so you can help understand how the Lord deals with you. The Lord comes by with you, to you, and he says, your thinking, your emotions, your efforts, your actions, something about you, he says, it's bushy over here. You need to do some pruning. Here's some things I want you to cut off and get rid of because you can't be real productive for me. And maybe the first time he hints at it, the first time he tells us, we just don't quite get it. We don't understand what he's trying to tell us. But if we will endeavor to be pleasing to him, he'll come back and he'll tell us the same. I know. I've been there. I'm going to tell you that story too. I've been there where the Lord come by and he spoke to me. And I thought, yeah, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And I kind of made a half-hearted attempt at doing some pruning. And then I let it get bushy again. And the Lord come by and talked to me again. And I said, yes, Lord. I was a young man then. And I said, yes, Lord. And I cut it off. And I've kept it cut off. And the Lord has blessed me for that, I believe. And I'll tell you what it was. I was going by the library and getting some books and reading them. And the Lord spoke to me about it. And I felt like he was telling me the books that he wasn't telling me I shouldn't read a book. He was just telling me the books I was reading wasn't beneficial for me. It was something I was putting into my head that I shouldn't have been putting into my head. And he said, don't do that. And he gave me a dream. And my dream was that I thought I was in the library, and every time I would pull a book off of the shelf, there was snakes coming out of the bookshelf. I don't like snakes. Not really, anyway. But anyway, it seemed like every time I'd pull a book out of the shelf, there was snakes coming out of there. And I thought, I knew the Lord, what the Lord was dealing with me about. He's dealing with me about the books I was checking out from the library. So I took them all back. And a few months later, I went and started checking some of those books out again. That style of book, not the same ones, okay? And I took those home. And the Lord gave me the same dream again. Now, that's why I'm telling you, the Lord is not like the devil. The Lord will come back and he's saying, You need to do some pruning right here. You're getting kind of bushy. You're getting kind of overgrown here in this area. There's something that's not quite like me, and you need to get rid of this. That's the way the Lord will deal with you. And when you say, yes, Lord, I won't do that anymore. I'll cut it off. I want to start bearing some more fruit for you. You know, the Lord's blessings will come right behind that. If we are to be part of the vine, we need to have the understanding that we are a part of the vine because Christ wants to be a friend to us and not a servant. He wants to be our closest friend that we can confide in, as the song said earlier that we read, or that we sang about confiding in the Word. He wants to be the Word that we confide. He wants to be the friend that we confide in, the one that we disclose our innermost feelings to. And He wants us to feel that invitation to be part of the vine and to be productive as disciples of Christ. So, my challenge to us this morning is that we would consider the illustration of the vine. Realize that we start out in an effort to be bearing fruit for the Lord. Don't expect things to just happen instantaneously. It might not happen in the first year as it is with a grapevine. Might be kind of puny in the second year. But let's realize that it might take 3 years. It might take some time before production really begins. But as that starts to happen, then we got to be concerned about getting too bushy, about letting our feelings and our emotions, about letting our thinking and our actions. And, you know, I want to kind of close with the thought of this big vine that I told you about. It's been pruned many, many, many times. There's been generations of gardeners that have had taken on the responsibility of pruning this particular vine. And they've had to have a long-term vision. I don't know what that vision was. I don't know if they built a bigger building for it to inhabit, or a bigger trellis for it to grow on as time has went on. Because it's hard for me to imagine that the person that transplanted this vine in 1769 or whenever it was, until now, it's hard for me to believe that he had a vision of how big it was going to be. All right? I don't know what they've done. But they've had to build bigger and bigger structure, I would think, to support the thing and to be able to utilize it. You would think that somewhere along the line, somebody would have got tired of pruning and taking care of this grapevine. But if they had decided, I'm tired of caring for that old thing, it's so old now, you might as well, why don't we just cut it up and get rid of it? What if they had done that 20 years ago? They wouldn't have had that record harvest in 2001. I want you to know that none of us enjoy pruning. I don't enjoy pruning. I've been doing my line of work for a long time, and I don't enjoy pruning in that either. But something happened to me in the last week. In fact, I discovered it last Monday. I went to work and realized that I had over-tightened something and caused another component to break and to crack. And I felt so down about all of it. It was like, how did I overlook this? How did I do this? I felt very inadequate about that. And you know, I feel like the Lord helped me to just start reading and meditating on this verse, or these verses. The Lord doesn't quit pruning us. It doesn't matter how long we've lived for Him, there's going to be some things that He says, you need to prune that off. It doesn't matter how long we do something for an occupation, we're gonna do things that feels like it's let the wind out of our sails. We're going to disappoint ourselves. You know, if the Lord comes by and says, you need to prune your actions, you need to prune your emotions, you need to prune your thinking, you need to prune your belief, all of these kind of things. If you've been trying to live for the Lord for a long period of time, your first thought is going to be, well, Lord, you know I've been trying to do the right thing. You know I was trying to do the right thing too. But there was something there that I needed to be more cautious about. And I've had a little pruning to deal with. You know, I'm talking about my occupation there. But we can have that in our walk with the Lord, in our efforts to be a Christian. So I don't want anybody to go away from here being discouraged. I want you to be challenged to accept God's pruning. If you get pruned in your occupation, accept that too. It'll all come out in the wash, as the old timers used to say. It'll all come out in the end, and we'll be able to bear much fruit. Now, I want us to think about this big vine that's so old, and it had its biggest production just a few years ago after it was 200 years old. Now, none of us here are going to live to be 200 unless we start try to count time after we went on into eternity. But I want to be productive. I don't want to come up to, I'm 51 now, and if I come up to being 60 or 62, I don't want to say, well, it's time to quit being productive. You know, I'll just go back and twiddle my... I want to be productive. And the Lord wants all of us to be productive. So it doesn't matter if we've been living for Him for 6 months or 60 years. I believe there's going to be places the Lord is going to want to prune us. And He's going to want us to be, what does He say here? He said, every branch that beareth not fruit, He's going to take that away. But every branch that beareth fruit, He's going to purge it that it may bring forth more fruit. And remember this, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do my commandments. What's His commandments? Abide and confide in Him. Allow Him to prune us. Walk closely with Him. Share our intimate thoughts and feelings. Allow Him to prune us. And then when we walk with Him like that, I believe the Lord will make us part of that very fruitful vine. You pray for me.